Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us later in the program. We've got a lot of things on the Titans front to get into with him, so looking forward to PK on the show later. Joe, the Predators fall again last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning. 5-2, the final score. Preds did get within one late in the game. Philip Forsberg, straight out of the penalty box with a rope on a rebound from a shot by Evangelista. Got it to 3-2, and then Kucherov scores an empty net goal, and then they add another goal that was not an empty net to close things out and make it 5-2 last night in a game where largely they got flat-out dominated by Tampa Bay. Like, there were stretches late in the first and basically the entirety of the second where they couldn't get anything going. Like, I think the Predators had three shots on goal in the second period. They couldn't get out of their own end. Tampa Bay was knocking pucks down either at the blue line or in the neutral zone and just sending it right back in and going back on the attack. And, Joe, now for the eighth time in 11 games this year, the Predators have scored two or fewer in a game, which is bad. And as Adam Vingan pointed out last night, that is the most in the NHL, where they've had two or fewer goals scored eight times in 11 games. So, on one hand, I've talked about this. I do think they have made some progress defensively. Now, they're very quickly running into some injury issues on defense. Yossi's out. He's week to week. Adam Willsby got hurt last night, and Adam Willsby last few games has been bad. He started off pretty good. Last few games he's been bad, but he left in the second period last night with a lower body injury, and now he's hurt, so we'll see if it's going to be Blankenberg moving forward here for a little bit, how long Willsby's out, whatever. But defensively, I think they've been decent so far this year. Certainly a step up from where they were last year at the end of the year. Offensively, they're just bad. They're flat out bad on offense right now. And there's no other way to say it. There's no way to sugarcoat it. Power play at least has started to get rolling a little bit the last couple of games. They've scored a power play goal in the last two games. But overall, their offense is just bad. There are long stretches of games, Joe, and this has happened the last three games for sure, where they just go like 15, 20, 25 minutes and barely get a shot, barely get any sort of looks at the net. And you just can't do that in the NHL. And nobody's going to sit there and just dominate 60 minutes of a hockey game. We all understand that. But you can't just go through like a third of the game without approaching the net. Like, it's hard to win that way. So, Joe, as you sit here and we're 11 games into a marathon 82-game season, the offense has been this bad to this point. What's your concern level with that? How do you view that if you're a Predators fan right now, knowing that last year was about as bad as it gets? This year, they're still hanging around. They're like, they're 2 points out of a playoff spot right now. Not that playoff spots matter in late October, but how do you view all that if you're the Predators and a Predators fan heading into this?
Yeah, there's some optimism early, like you said. I do think, like, the improvements of the decor, that's good. It was needed. There's a lot that was needed. But they've got nothing down the middle, and they have the least down the middle of probably any team in this league, and it shows. And it's just hard to watch. It's not good. I don't have optimism that it's going to change. I think we've seen enough now to be. It's just going to be a man. Maybe the bottom line will be better, and they'll be able to scrounge together more like 2-1 wins this year to be relevant longer. But it's still going to be very hard to watch. And, look, Abel here on the YouTube chat says, it's called bad coaching for the Titans and Preds. Pitiful to watch. No other team would have Brunette as a coach in the NFL, as an assistant coach at best, of even that now. Look at who's on the ice for the Preds. I'm not taking responsibility away from Andrew Brunette. I understand that. We talked about maybe it was better for them to move on from him in the offseason. But if you think that this is a matter of like a team that has the capability of being offensively prolific and the coaching is holding it back, that's just not true.
Their center situation right now is horrible. Like, there's no other way to put it, and we knew that heading into the year. I said it before they dropped the puck. They've got the worst center group in the NHL, and it's played out that way to this point. I mean, look, heading into the season, they were under the impression that Fedor Svechkov was going to be their second-line center. And right now, he's been a healthy scratch the last two games and doesn't have a point yet through nine games, I guess, that he's played. And you know, he's still young, not giving up on the kid or anything like that, and he's trying hard and all those things. And I think probably you could make an argument, and Brunette's talked about this, he's probably trying a little too hard and not taking some of the easy plays that are there for him to make. But the bottom line is their center production is just horrific to this point. I mean, look, Ryan O'Reilly's had a really good start to the year. And if it wasn't for him, I mean, they'd be getting nothing. And look, you know, McCarron's had a good start to the year too, but McCarron has had a good start to the year because he's a good penalty killer and because that line has done a decent job of shutting people down. We know that line's not going to produce a whole lot of offense. So they've moved Stamkos to center the last couple of games to try to get him going a little bit. And it's been better at center. Like, he's gotten a couple of more looks. But again, you're talking with him one goal and 2 points in 11 games. Now, if he keeps getting looks, they're probably going to start to go in a little bit more for him. His shooting percentage is like 4 right now or something like that. It's really low for him. So if he keeps getting shots, they're probably going to go in at some point. But for the most part this year, he's not getting enough shots. Like, Trotz talked about that yesterday with DVD. Like, he's barely touching the puck, which is part of what moving him to center is going to look like. It's just they're a bad offensive team. And the thing is, I think they kind of know it, right? Like, Stamkos, we talked about his comments last week where he was like,
let's be real.
We ain't scoring 4 or 5 goals a game. Like, we know this. So there's a certain way we're going to have to play if we're going to win. And I just, you know, again, I think they've gotten better defensively. Saros has been rock solid to start the year. All those things are good. But it's just really hard in today's National Hockey League to sit back and think you're going to win very many games if you can't score more than 2 goals. Like, you'll win some if you play really good defense, and you'll probably stretch some games to overtime because you're playing good defense, and maybe you string out some points that way. But you're just not going to win on a very consistent basis if you can't get the offense going. It's just not going
to
happen.
So you have to be like some of those teams in the early years of Trotz.
And yeah.
Win that way. Zach on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHockey.com, says the counter argument to Abel, they could barely complete a pass last night. It has nothing to do with coaching. They just don't have the offensive skill to get it done. And like you said, you know, I'm talking about centerman. I mean, like you said, O'Reilly has been really good. He's bailed them out.
Yeah.
So you got to give him his respect for sure for what he does and what he's done in his whole career. But it's just not a fun product to watch.
No.
And there's just no, like, there's just no answer to that other than, to me, like, they should be better on the power play. They need to go through an absolute tear on the power play, right?
That's how they're going to have to score.
And that's, but short of that, like, they're not going to be dangerous 5-on-5 this year.
No. And again, like, if your power play is really, really good, then maybe you can overcome some of that 5-on-5. Like, if you're just absolutely lethal on your power play, then you can generate offense that way. But if you're not if you're just okay on the power play, and right now they haven't even been okay on the power play. If they get to that point where they're decent on the power play, like, it's still going to be hard to win if you're not threatening 5-on-5. And look, Stamkos, there's a lot of conversation about him right now. You know, we had a couple of people text in already of, like, you know, trade him or send him out of here or ship him back to Tampa. I mean, he's not going anywhere. Like, the contract at this point, you can't move. Like, he's getting paid over $8 million a year. The production's not there. I mean, I guess you could eat half of it if you wanted to, if you're the Predators. I don't know if they want to do
They've done a bit of that over the years.
And I mean, in Tampa specifically, I don't think Tampa has the cap space for even half of his contract right now. So, like, I don't think he's going anywhere, guys, I guess is what I'm saying. So you got to figure out a way to make it work. And look, with him, the first thing people are going to say is, well, he's 35 and he's lost a step. And maybe that's true. I mean, I know this. Like, the tracking numbers, when you track his skating ability, tell you that he can still move. Like, he still skates really well. When he lets it go, you can see the shot, and it's like, well, okay. I just think his days of being the play driver are over. And they were probably over, frankly, at the end of his time in Tampa. And when you're playing with Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov, you don't have to be the play driver.
Right.
You could sit there and set them up or finish it off when they send a, you know, ridiculous behind-the-back cross-eyes feed to you and you're just one-timing it. So, you know, I'm not saying that he's like some points merchant at the end of his career with Kucherov and Point, but there's a pretty large difference between playing with Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov and what he's playing with right now. They cannot find a centerman for him. And now they've already done, within the first 10 games, what they said they didn't want to do this last offseason, which to move him back to center, and you're already having to do it. That's not good. It's not good.
No, to tie the whole show together, you know, kind of helps to have the help around you, right? Like, I mean, yeah. you can be a really good player, you know, in different sports, but like it does matter what's around you, and it's amazing how much different you can look. But I also,
he's not the same guy he was at 27.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's also older.
Yeah, he's older.
A lot of tread off tires.
I'm just saying, like, I think there are people that think that, you know, he's just some old pawpaw out there and can't move anymore. And I'm just saying the data does not support that. Like, when he gets going, he goes. But it's not happening often enough. So, again, anytime we have a conversation about the Predators, Joe, it ultimately leads to what's going to happen with the coach. And we've got people weighing in on that. We'll get into that. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Here's our phone number. Take your thoughts on the Preds. Kuharski will be with us later in the program as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
You mentioned the penalties. The kill's been so good all year, but do you worry about, you know, kind of taking your team out of a flow with how many penalties you guys are taking?
Absolutely. Part of it, we're not moving our feet. You know, we're taking way too many. I think Halsey's taken way too many every night. Just kind of senseless penalties that we put ourselves in 5-on-3s, you know, where we're not moving our feet and we're slashing or we're hooking, and they're all kind of preventable penalties. But when you're not skating, you're not moving, you take those penalties. And, you know, early in the year, they're always going to be tic-tacky a little bit. We should recognize that and understand that. Unfortunately, we're a little bit hard-headed in that category right now.
That was Andrew Brunette last night after the game discussing the penalties. They're taking a lot of penalties, a lot of stick infractions. And the good news is penalty kill's been really good to begin the year. Problem is, probably not scoring too many goals when the penalty kill's out there all the time. So that's part of what has led to their offensive struggles, but it's not the whole thing. I mean, the offense is just bad, and I don't know how much better it's going to get as the year goes on based on where they're at with their center depth right now. And, Joe, this obviously leads to, you know, Brunette conversation. We knew we were going to have it early in the year, if things didn't go really, really well. They're, you know, like I said, they're in it. They're not out of it. It's not like they're just totally out of it like they were to start last year. They're 4-5-2. They're 10 points. There's a whole mix of teams right now that are right there together in the Western Conference. Too early in the year for anybody to have really separated themselves. I mean, Utah and Colorado are the best two teams in the West right now, and they're at 16 points. So they're six points ahead of you at this point. So it's all jumbled up. It's not like they can't win a few games here in a row and they're right back in the thick of a, you know, the playoff race. But it's hard to imagine them at the moment over an 82-game season with how challenged I think they're going to be offensively. It's hard to imagine them hanging in there. It is. Like, it's going to take superhuman goaltending, superhuman defensive play if they can't get to score more than 2 goals a game. Like, it just is. So, there's people on the text line that are saying it. Like, if the offense is this bad, isn't Brunette supposed to be an offensive guy? Isn't he supposed to be a power play guy? Would you not benefit at some point from at least trying to change the head coach and seeing if you get a bump, seeing if there's some sort of systems change you can make, all those things? How do you view that as we sit here today, 11 games into the season, Joe?
Well, yeah, I view that as what teams do in the NHL, and so we're there. Traditionally, we're there conventionally, or we're getting close. But again, we were there at the end of last year.
Right.
And there are other teams that would have changed. I don't know about Barry Trotz, though. And it's fine. Yeah, maybe you, and I think it is absolutely fair to say, power play guy, look at this power play. That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I also agree with Brunette, what he told us, which is like, I mean, it's power play – is almost like, you know, if you ever had that homework assignment in high school where you have to, like, take care of an egg for 24 hours, yeah. You know? I mean, it is delicate, like, psychologically, and they're obviously in their own heads. They're better than what we're seeing, right? And it happens. This happens at power plays. But it's still fair to say, dude, you should be able to fix this. Overall, though, I think this roster is performing offensively exactly like we've been saying for months that they would, because they didn't do any. They do not have the pieces to be better than this. I'm sorry. They are not, to me, underperforming much. I mean, not really. I mean, yeah, you could always look at this and say, maybe this guy and this guy and this guy will have, well, much better years. And yes, some of these guys had down years last year that you were surprised by, but for the most part, I don't think that they're all that far off from what on paper they are. Does that mean you absolutely don't change a coach? No, in this league, you typically do, so it's fine. Go ahead. I have my doubts that you're going to see massively different results from doing that.
I mean, if it keeps going this way, where they can't score at all, it probably gets to a point this year at some point where you got to do it. It probably does. It's just, like you said, it's life in the
NHL.
But
will Trotz do it?
I don't know. That's a good question. But I think, you know, look, if it continues this way and they can't score, and by the time, you know, the trade deadline comes around, you're looking up and you're 10 points out of a playoff spot. I don't think it's going to be as dramatic as it was last year, where you look up in like January the 5th and it's like, wow, we're going to have to win like 90% of our games the rest of the way to make the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be like that. But I do think there's a chance that the deadline rolls around and you look up and it's like, well, it's going to take pretty good stuff in the last part of this season for us to squeak into the playoffs. I think that's probably the most likely scenario. So at that point, you're looking at your roster and it's like, well, you know, Michael Bunting probably gone. At that point, you know, do you do anything with your defense, or you got enough young guys on defense? Like, is Molenbeek up by that point? Where's Kimmel at that point? Like, some of these guys that are in Milwaukee are going to start to trickle in here. Does that get anything any better offensively? But I think the big question is going to be, like, how much do you want to shake things up if you're Barry Trotz? Yes, part of that's the coaching. But, like, does it get to a point where either, like, a Stamkos or a Marchessault looks around and, like, get me out of here, man? Like, I don't know. I have no idea how they're going to view that. I know this. Like, those guys didn't sign up to come here to miss out on the playoffs 2 years in a row. And, look, they're a part of it, right? Like, they're not playing. You know, Marchessault, I think, has had a decent start to the year. Not a great one, but a decent one. Stamkos obviously hasn't. Like, he's got 2 points in 11 games. So they're part of the problem at the moment. But those guys didn't sign up to come here to be a part of a rebuild or anything like that. So – I don't know. Like, I guess I'm just saying, if it doesn't get any better offensively, does it get to a point where you got to make a move with a coach? And if you're Trotz, you got to start looking at your roster and maybe trying to make some moves that we didn't anticipate heading into the year. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think it probably does. I'm keeping an open mind on Trotz, and he's obviously a big patience guy, and as we've talked about, He had the benefit of that as a coach too. But yeah, I mean, I think at some point it probably gets there. You know, Keith says, you know, do you think Forsberg ever get tired of this one and go somewhere where he can win?
I've thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I feel bad. You know, I feel bad for a lot of these guys, like Forsberg and Yost. I mean, you know, these guys have, you know, the end of their careers here. It's not, for the most part, going well. I mean, they made the playoffs 2 years ago as a surprise, but I mean, it's just not going well. But again, like, they're part of it too. I mean, look, when it comes down to it, a year ago, it's like, yeah, man, Novak can do that. No. Now, Svechkov, no.
There's a lot of hope, and it just doesn't. It's not a good strategy. And look, again, I'm not pulling the plug on Svechkov. It's just been a bad start for him. I would assume, you know, he's been a healthy scratch for 2 games now. The offense hadn't gotten a whole lot better. I assume he's probably going to be back in there on Thursday. We'll see what happens on that front. But the bottom line is, like, they got a lot of young guys in their system right now, and I don't think any of them are ready to be difference makers in the NHL. Like, true play-driving difference makers.
How many of them will ever be?
I don't know. That's a good question. Like, I think Brady Martin will be at some point, but we're probably a ways away from that. You know, Kemmel, I think, has got a chance. But, I mean.
Like, that's a guy who I thought maybe that would be one of the pleasant things about this year.
And it still could be. We'll see. I mean, Evangelista, I thought Evangelista was horrific last night for the first two periods. And then all of a sudden he scores a goal and ends up with a primary assist. And it's like, okay, well. I guess good for you in the third period there, but I thought he was really bad before that. So
any of that helps.
Yeah. So like they need to get him going. It just feels like they're going to be so hit or miss on offense all year long. It's hard to win that way. And at some point in this league, even with as patient as they are, I think you run out of options at some point and the coach pays the price for it. Like if you told me right now that's how this thing's going to end, I'd probably say, yep. That's probably where I'd come down on it at the end of this year.
Texter asking if the Titans and Predators have the worst rosters in their respective leagues. I don't think that's true of the Predators.
No, they do not.
I think they have the worst. True of the Titans.
I think they have the worst center depth. I don't think they have the worst overall roster.
That's the thing. There's enough talent overall that they should not be bad.
Yeah. Now, I don't think they've got enough talent at this stage of their career where they're all going to be good, right? Like, you know, I think we've kind of learned that at this point about this specific group. And again, like they've gotten better defensively, but we are talking about Roman Josi not playing right now, and Brady Shea at times this year has still been a little bit of an adventure. I think he's been better than he was to start last year, but it's not been great. Justin Barron, frankly, is bad. Like they keep waiting for him to turn into something, and what I've seen from him to this point, he's just bad. So I don't know if that's going to change at any point. So there's just a lot. You know, Nick Hague, I don't think he's been very good so far. He's played like three games. So I'm not willing to make any judgments on him. Perfix is good. Dick Perfix is good, baby.
Let's talk positives.
Yeah, he's good.
He is good.
So that's been good to see. It's just they got a lot. There's a lot of things with where they're at right now that have to go right. And it kind of feels like they've talked about that. Like it's like Marchessault's talked about it. Stamkos, we played the comments last week. Like they're all well. They're like, yeah, you know, they keep saying, there's a certain way we got to play to win games, which is basically code word for we got to defend our butt off and hope the power play starts popping in a few goals, and that's how we win games.
It's the kind Canadian hockey way of saying we ass.
Yeah, maybe so. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Predators. Paul Kuharsky will be with us shortly on the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this rainy Wednesday morning. A lot of thoughts on the Predators to get to. Speaking of the Predators, I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Calgary Flames coming up at Bridgestone Arena this Saturday. Puck drop at 2:30. Some beautiful afternoon hockey, which is my favorite. Caller number 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Calgary Flames at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Saturday. Puck drop at 2:30. Joe, a couple of thoughts to get to. We'll go rapid fire on this. One texter says, Brunette's tempo offense was what excited me when he became the coach. Now it seems that they're switching back to the old defense and dumping ground game. I don't think that's Brunette's style. I think we need to go all out for a center. Somehow, some way, fart those draft picks and go back to his up-tempo style. I think they've been looking for a center for a long time.
Yeah.
I think that's a very difficult thing to find. Not very many people willing to give up centermen that they have. That's the whole problem there. So it's probably going to have to be drafted. So hopefully Brady
Martin. They
did draft one.
But, timelines are tough right now. Times and timelines.
One texter says,
tough.
Here's the deal. The NHL, as of today, the teams are speedy as lightning. Preds may be the slowest team in the NHL. It's not the coach. One texter says, I've always been a Preds fan. I'll still watch them when they're losing, but their biggest problem is they've struck out on drafting people. Please tell me who in their farm system is going to really make a difference. I mean, in the long term, that's the big question. And, you know, sticking Brady Martin aside because – I think he will make a difference. We'll see when that happens. But beyond that, like of the guys that are on the doorstep of being in the league right now, how many of those guys are making a big difference? That's the question.
Well,
like how many of your Kimmels, your Schaefers, your Molendykes, your, I mean, take your pick. they've got all these first LaRue, they got all these guys that have either been first round picks or have been traded and brought in. Edstrom, they traded and brought in, former first round pick. I got all these guys in their system, which is good. How many of those guys are like legit top six threatening players? I don't know.
It just seems like the same story over and over again. And I think back to 2 years ago, if you told me 2 years ago with what we were starting to see with Evangelista, we'd be here now, I would have been a little bit surprised and certainly disappointed. But it feels like it happens over and over again. And, Kemmel, there's been a lot of – and I'm not giving up on anybody, but I feel like at some point you keep seeing the same kind of story, which is pretty good player, good enough to be in the league, but
yeah,
not a top six forward, not in this league. And I just feel like we keep seeing that over and over again. And so it's a huge question because some of them have to hit, but I feel like I'm at the point where I'm like, yeah, I'll believe when I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, I think a lot of those guys I just rattled off can be good players, which you need good players.
Sure.
How many of them can be legitimate night-by-night in the NHL threats to score? Like, how many of those guys are 60-point guys, 70-point guys? I forget the 90, 100-point stuff because I don't think any of those guys are that. How many of those guys are 55, 65, 70-point players? You need a couple to be in that range. And do they have any of them that will be? Like, I thought Evangelista was going to be that guy. And who knows? Maybe he'll end up being that guy. I just don't see it. I think he's probably going to end up being like a, at maximum 20-goal, 45, 50-point player, which is fine. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. But you
that
need,
sounds okay.
As an organization, you need more guys that are higher end threats offensively, and it feels like it's going to take a minute for them to get to that point. So then the question is, well, all right, how long is it going to take? How long does Andrew Bernat have in that process? And then how long does Barry Trotz have in all that process?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of Josh and Dixon. At what point is it Trotz's fault? I mean, there's a lot of that. Neil, Trotz is the issue. With this team, the present revenue hasn't been great. But that's the thing. If and when you move on from Andrew Bernat, then it's, I guess, officially, to what Trotz is on the clock. Look, it hasn't gone well. So I think it's totally fair to criticize him. I mean, look, I do, as much as I like to make fun of Stilley about this, I mean, I think some of his draft choices and how those turn out are, those are going to be critical. If that doesn't work out and they continue basically the same pattern of not really being able to find difference-making forwards,
yeah.
Even if Brady Martin, I think he'll end up being a really good player, but, you need more than that.
Yeah, I like the Surin kid that they drafted in the first round a couple years ago. But how close is he to being an NHL player? I have no idea. He's in the KHL right now. So it could be a couple more years before you see him. That's the thing where you're going back to the root of this whole thing. Right now you got two timelines that are competing with each other that don't really match up. You got the veterans that are on the tail end of it and the young guys that are not quite ready yet, and that's kind of leading to where they're at right now.
Yeah, neither timeline. Again, the other one is we'll see, but it's just the history. I'm sorry, but it just doesn't make me that optimistic.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. They play again tomorrow on the road, and then they're back at home again this weekend, Saturday. Got a game on Monday at home. Got more games next week at home, and then they're off to Sweden after that. So we'll see how all that goes. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com is with us here on the program. PK, good morning. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. I am well. I am a little discouraged. I did not hear the volume, I will admit, on Channel 4 News this morning. But without volume, here's what I imagine. Jamaica, absolutely devastated by a Category 5 hurricane. And it's raining in Nashville.
Yeah. It is.
What?
By the way, there's a little bit of rain here.
Somewhat proportional difficulties. You know, the roofs have been blown off every building there, but we're also dealing with, you know, some trauma here.
Some water.
And that the pavement is wet.
PK, keeping the priorities straight coming in today. We got a lot of things to
first
get into
problems.
With PK. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad, unless PK hijacks it, is also coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Do you know your elbow from your ass?
You can't stay away from shellfish, meat, and meat.
I hate the V-necks. I hate how they feel.
If my zipper's up, I feel like I'm in style.
Our latest criminal has made it in the building.
And we'll run Inc. from the law while we do it.
All I can see is his face as he grunts.
Which one of you has gout?
Multiple times. You've talked about marrying your cousin. So.
And I'm going to egg your house. Egg your house.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. So is Kuharsky still in the rant? Is that what we determined?
You take it from here. Here's the rant. I'm done with the tush push. I'm done with it. I'm sick of it. It's annoying as hell. And it's like, you know, the Eagles just line up and they three guys go false start, and then they punch people in the face and they bite people and no one gives a crap. This was like, hey, I guess that's fine. First down, Eagles. We're going to have to deal with it the rest of this year. I feel stupid that last year I was like, well, I don't know. It's kind of, it's annoying as hell. And everybody does it. Just hold on. You get your chance. And it just needs to be illegal from now on. And football is not going to be worse off for it. We have rules changes all the time. I mean, my God, 10 years ago, you know, catching the football, you had to like complete the process, sit there, hold it, kiss the ball, sign it, give it to the ref, and then it completed the process of a catch. I mean, we change stupid crap all the time in this league, and the tush push needs to die a brutal death this offseason.
So the controversy this weekend is the officials completely mangle forward progress on the tush push. And so the conclusion is, yeah, we have to take that play away.
Well,
officials couldn't handle it, so we have to take it away.
This is not a one-week thing. I mean, it's just...
Okay, well, not for you, but for America. Everybody's like, all right, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. The officials messed it up, so we have to get rid of it.
But they keep doing it.
No, officiate it correctly. Well, correct the officiating. No. Spend the offseason with all of your officials and teach them how to officiate a legal play. You can't take the play away
because
it
can't
be officiated.
No, you make the play illegal.
My entire life, the Eagles have to be punished.
You're way older than me, but I've been around a while. And in my world in football, and someone, if you're on the offense and your teammate has the ball, you're not allowed to push or pull that person. You can block for him. That's fine. No, come on, Johnny. Here, jump on my back. Let's run to the end zone together. No, that's stupid. That's exactly what this is.
You can't decide.
You can't push people or pull people.
4 years
yes,
after a team's been doing it successfully.
Yes, you can. You can fix something.
I know they can do whatever they want. But it's been fine for a long time, and now you say, well, we're going to keep campaigning and keep campaigning.
Some people have been bitching the whole time.
Why do we want it out? Because we don't like it. We don't like it.
This
team does it successfully, and we don't like it, so we're going to legislate it out of the game.
Well, you said that during the break that it's just going to hurt one team. That's not true. Lots of teams have a version of tush push, and it mostly works for them. So, I mean, the Eagles are obviously – I mean, dude, they ran it like three straight. It's like, get this crap out of here.
My biggest problem with it, and this is – I don't know that you make rule changes because of this, although I think we've seen them make rule changes in sports because of this. It brings the game to just an absolute screeching halt, especially when you do it like multiple plays in a row. It's just
like the Rams game.
And then you got in that situation, and I think it was the NFC title game last year.
Yes.
Where instead of running the tush push, the Commanders decided, well, we're going to try like mad to just time this up properly. And they jumped off sides like four plays in a row, including diving over the top of the pile. And it just brings the game to an absolute screeching halt. Every time it happens.
Find a way to counter it. When are you going to counter it? Somebody comes up with something good.
By making it illegal because it's stupid.
Counter it.
Which was the team that like.
Counter this.
I can't remember who it was. Was it Minnesota that like basically dove down and like built a wall, kind of like just started diving on top of each other.
I like that
to try to stop
but
it.
The thing is, one guy laying there doesn't do anything. You have to have two or three.
Yeah,
so you got to work faster and get more guys on the ground.
Maybe Taco Fall is the answer.
Maybe it could be.
We did
get
hear
a big
about
fat
earlier.
Guy to lay down.
Just get Taco Fall.
7 foot six.
7 foot six in there and just reach in and stop.
Now, who? I mean, seriously, who? It's.
I don't not enjoy it.
Well, you're sick. There's something wrong with
guess
you,
so.
Man.
A lot of people on the text line. It's funny. We talked about this during the break. Bringing up the Giannis travel from last night. He's like, forget the touch
push.
How about Giannis traveling across half
state? Joe's fine with this. He enjoys that watching that. Let's just do away with dribbling. That's okay. I mean, dribbling doesn't exist.
For the record, I believe they should have called a travel.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
I believe they should have called a travel.
But are we going to take away the rule?
Take away what?
I mean, they don't enforce the dribbling rule, so should we take it away?
No, that's a terrible analogy. That's idiotic. I'm embarrassed that you said it that way. No. You know, just enforce the rule. That's been forever. This tush-push crap, some people have been complaining the whole time. And, again, at first, to me, it was like, oh, just this team's got it figured out.
Well, I'm saying
again,
the same thing. Apply the rules correctly. The big objection on Sunday, not for you, but for most people, was that it was officiated poorly. So,
but like
in
3 weeks
instances,
ago,
officiated correctly.
Yeah, it's enough.
Well,
it's enough.
I would also say this. Yes, this past Sunday, this wasn't the particular issue. There have been multiple times where you go back and look at the tush push that the Eagles run, and it's a freaking false start. Like, they false start on this thing all the time.
Right.
And it never gets called.
Why can't they see it?
I don't know.
Why can't they see it?
That's a good question. I have no idea. Like, I don't know why you can't call the false start.
But they'd never call it.
And they also have assistance from upstairs. So say they false started. Why can't the people upstairs see it?
Yeah. Like Alex said, 80 of the runners illegal. And that is the prevailing belief I've always had in football. I mean, when USC beat Notre Dame, my God, the controversy about that, the Bush push.
Oh, yeah.
And it just that should be the case.
We're
block
about
for
junior
someone.
Football. We're talking about big boy football. It's different.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Just like big boy football, like the team you cover plays. Yeah. Well, that's some real good football. We should probably talk about that at some point, huh?
Yeah, we're going to. We got a lot of things to get into with PK.
Someone says PK's batting 100 this morning. I think he's
100's
batting
not good.
Zero.
100's terrible.
Yeah. Do you mean 1,000?
I batted about 100.
I
think that's about right. He's batting about 100.
Yeah.
He's way under the Mendoza line.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We got a lot to get into with PK. The NFL trade deadline is coming up. We'll get into our quarterback discussion from earlier in the show as well. All that and more. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.